in our Bible, 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. By the way, I think Freshie's going around and I have that John's son have his name on there, his family. The Lord would grant them, or the Lord would grant through the embassy a visa to be able to come in 6 months. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 13. And as I mentioned, this is a very unusual chapter in many, many regards, but it gives us a real insight into God's plan here with regard to prophecy. Now, I've entitled this, A Lion Met Him. It comes right out of the text here. A Lion Met Him. All right? So our passage is in 1 Kings chapter 13. And verses 19 through the rest of the chapter. And I've divided the outline of this section around these points. There is the disobedience of a man of God. Disobedience of a man of God, verses 19 through 23. Secondly, there is the death of a man of God, 24 through 32. And then finally, there is the disavowal of the king, verses 33 and 34. So, as we look through this, we'll consider these points. But if you recall, Jeroboam is the king of the northern kingdom. The Lord gave him, through a prophet, Ahijah, the prophecy that he would gain 10 of the tribes because the Lord was going to judge Solomon. So he gave him 10 of the tribes. A prophet told this to Jeroboam. Jeroboam then, who was a servant of Solomon, then he left because he was afraid of Solomon. Then he came back when Solomon died. So we recall that in chapter 11, 1 Kings 11, 31. The prophet says to Jeroboam, as he tore up his garment 12 pieces, you take 10, you get 10. This is my plan for you, you get 10 pieces. And then later in the chapter, the Lord says unto Jeroboam in verse 38, And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house, and will build for David, and give Israel unto thee, and so on. So the Lord promises blessings on Jeroboam if he will just obey. Well, we find out he quickly disobeys. All right, he disobeys. Well, we move into chapter 13 now, and you recall then how Jeroboam had made his own apostate religion. He had his own priest, he had his own place of worship, he had his own deities, he had his own holy days, so he just put together his own apostate religion. And of course, this was an abomination to the Lord. So the Lord sent along the man of God. This is in 1 Kings chapter 13, just reviewing here a little bit. Notice we don't know the man's name. He's just the man of God. He's designated that in this chapter, the man of God. He's also designated this almost 300 years later. He's just the man of God. That's all we know about him. No name. But this no name, the man of God, prophesied by name a man named Josiah. Almost 300 years in advance of Josiah's birth. All right, so obviously this shows the Lord is sovereign over his creation and sovereign over history and so on. And so there's a prophecy, and then there is a sign that the prophecy will occur, and that is the altar that the man of God preached against would be rent or broken right into, and ashes would pour out. And when Jeroboam heard this, he tried to reach out against the prophet, and his arm froze, and he couldn't bring it back in. And so the Lord had judged Jeroboam immediately as he tried to go after this prophet. And then the king says, pray that the Lord will restore my hand. And the man of God prays, and the Lord restored his hand. So, you see all the privileges of Jeroboam, all the privileges he had. And yet he was a terrible apostate king. Terrible. He rejected all the privileges that he had. Alright? And then one other place, we're reviewing this a little bit, 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. Here we see the actual fulfillment of this almost 300 years later. When Josiah, as an 8-year-old, becomes is made king, and no doubt he had adults helping him until he matured here a little bit, but he tried to destroy all of the cultism in the land, and he comes to the sepulcher as he destroys the altar there in the 23:16, and sees that there is a sepulcher with a title on it, and the title has the man of God. So he recognizes that this is the fulfillment of the prophecy given almost 300 years earlier. And so what he does is he burns the priest's bones, and he destroys all this just as had been prophesied. And so what we see here in 1st and 2nd Kings, there's a prophecy. There's an immediate sign given to demonstrate the truth and veracity of the prophecy. And then later on we see the prophecy is actually fulfilled. And so this demonstrates, if nothing else, the inspiration of Scripture. This wasn't coincidental. You try to argue coincidental, I mean, how did a man named Josiah, he does exactly what is prophesied here. This would be an impossible coincidence. Not a coincidence, it's God working through his prophecy and Amen. Fulfillment.
Amen.
All right. Then we also recall how the Lord had spoken to the man of God and told him, you do not drink and you do not eat bread there, but you come back to Judah, and you come back a different route, and you don't hang around with this apostate. And so he left. Even when the king said, why don't you come over and eat and so on, no, he left. He left. And then we're looking here in verse 18, right before we get started here. An old prophet comes on the scene. Now, an old prophet comes out of Bethel. So remember, Bethel at this point is a terrible city of apostasy. And so could you ever trust an old prophet coming out of Bethel? Well, no. Just like you could never trust a theologian coming out of Harvard or Yale.
You're right.
Or any of these divinity schools.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to bring apostasy to you. So, but this old prophet convinced the man of God. He said, so we're going to this in verse 18. He says, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So here the old prophet lies to this man of God. Why all this happens, we don't know. But the angel here, we wouldn't say this is the angel of the Lord. We'd say this is the demon. And the demon spoke to this old prophet. And he received this from the word of the Lord. That's what he testifies. But he lied. The Lord doesn't contradict his word. So he'd already given a message to the man of God. And the man of God should have said, the Lord hasn't spoken to me about this. He's already told me, don't eat there, don't drink water there, and don't go back the same way. Why didn't the Lord speak to me? So the prophet, or the man of God, should have said, all I know is what the Lord has spoken to me about. I don't know what he's spoken to you about, but I'm going to go with what he's spoken to me about. And but he didn't. And so he finds out he's caught in a lie. And so now we have an old prophet lies. So, and he gets a man of God who's a prophet in trouble. serious trouble. Right? So that's the background of all this. So now we're going to look here at the disobedience of the prophet, first of all, in verses 19 through 23, the disobedience of the man of God. And here, verse 19 says, "So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water." So here the man of God goes back. He believes the old prophet. An angel spoke unto him. I mentioned last week Joseph Smith, who started the Mormons. He said an angel spoke to him. And they said the angel's name was Moroni. And so I gave you a little expression there. So what do we know about this Moroni Baloney? Right? You remember that part of the message? Moroni Baloney. So when the Mormons come around. Now, anyway, he's disobedient. He disobeys what the Lord has told him. He goes back and he did eat bread and drink water. Drink water. Scripture, verse 19 says that. Now, what's interesting in this passage is that the word bread shows up 10 times in this chapter, and the word water shows up 9 times. Or 8 times, rather. 8 times a chapter. So there's a lot of water in this chapter. But these are such simple actions. Eating bread, drinking water. It's not complicated. The Lord said, don't eat bread there. Don't drink water there. Come back a different way. It's not complicated. So what the Lord requires of us is not a complicated maze in life. It's just simple obedience.
Amen.
That's why we try to teach your children. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Right.
It's not complicated. Just don't do that. Mm-hmm. Just don't do that. It's not complicated. You don't have to be a math major to figure out what the how to go about this. Just don't. Now, we recall way back in the garden, what did Adam and Eve do? They ate. They ate mm-hmm. of the fruit. Mm-hmm. Simple act. But they ate of the fruit. So here, these are simple instructions that should have been obeyed. Now, in the garden, the Lord had gave that instruction that they were not to eat. Were not to eat because this would have been a conscious act. Likewise, the Lord had a reason for him not wanting him to eat bread or drink water there. Why? Was that because the Lord wanted him to go on a special diet or didn't care about his physical needs? No, there was something else. He did not want him eating a meal with an apostate because this would cause real problems there, and he could have compromised everything. So we have to be careful. We don't align ourselves with apostates. We don't eat with apostates. We don't do anything with apostates. And so, as I said before, there's this apostate ecumenical church council around here in town. They always want independent Baptists to go to breakfast and have prayer meetings with them and this and that. There's nothing good going to come out of that. And certainly, I would not benefit from that. I'd be very uncomfortable. They wouldn't be using our Bible. They wouldn't be talking about salvation. You know, they'd be talking about who won the latest bingo game or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, the Lord had a reason. Had a reason for this. And so he disobeyed. Disobeyed. Now, so we see the sin in verse 19. Notice the condemnation then comes in 20 through 23. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet, that's the old prophet, that brought him back. Now the Lord speaks through the through and through the old prophet. Earlier it was a demon. Now it's the Lord. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord hath thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water, in the place of which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. This sounds like serious warning. So, here's what makes this passage so intriguing. We have the man of God. He gives forth prophecy, and he has a sign associated with him. The sign comes forth, and then later on is fulfilled. Later on, a old prophet, he gives a false prophecy, deceives the man of God, and then he gives a true prophecy concerning the man of God's death. This is what's so intriguing about all this. And I think there's some principles here through which we can work. But this is the intriguing aspect of the passage. And so, now notice here in verses 20 through 22, especially 21 and 22, the repetition of all the words that come out here. The repetition. Verse 21, thus saith the Lord. So here the old prophet is telling the man of God. For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. Now keep in mind here, the commandment is as if it's coming from the mouth of the Lord. See, notice how personal that is. Now these are the Lord's words, and if he were here in person, he could speak these words to us, but instead he has had them written down, but these are the words that come from the Lord's mouth.
Amen.
It's the Bible. And so, we have to keep that in mind, this is not just some book, and we are so distant from the author. No, the author speaks through these words.
Amen.
Written words, and we need to have our ear right next to these words to hear the voice of the Lord. And obey the mouth of the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Well, verse 22, we see a more expression here. But came us back and hast eaten bread and drunk the water. In the place of which the Lord did say unto thee. So you see the repetition here. So in other words, there is sin. It's not vague. The man of God knows exactly what he wasn't to do. He did it. He disobeyed. Now the Lord, through the prophet, is saying, this is what I told you. Don't do this. You did do this. And so what choice do I have but to deal with you? What choice do I have? Same way the Lord dealt with Adam and Eve back there in the garden. Let's look back there. This is how the Lord deals with people. Deals with people this way. And with Adam, back there in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. The Lord said in 3:9, which says, Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? See, so right there, here's the sin. Have you done this? Now keep in mind, when the Lord asks questions to Adam, he's wanting the proper response. The proper response that Adam needed to give is, I sinned, have mercy on me. That's the proper response.
Right.
Did he ever get it? No. Adam is stalling here. In verse 13, the Lord said, verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, the woman, and if you don't like that answer, who are you, Lord? Now notice here in verse 12, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now notice the verb there, in both English and Hebrew, the last words he says is what he doesn't want to say, and this is exactly what the Lord wanted him to say, and he says, oh yeah, by the way, I did eat. He puts this right at the tail end, and grammatically that's where it is in Hebrew, right at the tail end. The last thing Adam wanted to say is, I did eat, which means he's confessing the sin, yeah, I ate. So the Lord comes back to him and condemns him, verse 17. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. So he's repeating this. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So here we see how the Lord dealt back there and how he deals here as well. So he repeats the directive, do not do this. If it's disobeyed, then he reminds the individual, you disobeyed from what I said. Now there are consequences. By the way, this is a pattern that parents can use with their children. They have to use this with their children. So, son, don't run out in the street. Don't step over that curb. Don't do that. Well, the son steps over the curb into the street. You take them and you say, the son, our daughter, and all right, did I tell you not to do this? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you do it? Yes, I did it. I did eat. Yeah, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences are because I told you not to do this, you did it, therefore these are the consequences and this is why you're getting spanked.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way parents can deal. So there's no vagueness here. Why did the man of God have a judgment on him that he was going to die? Because he sinned. So nothing is vague here. It's very clear. Very forthright, very simple. He ate. He wasn't supposed to eat. He's going to die. I mean, this is what we have going on here. So we see the disobedience of the man of God. Now, some might say, well, the old prophet lied to him and deceived him. Well, here's the point. If he's the man of God and God is speaking to him, then he should have known, I'm going with what I do know, what the Lord has told me, not what somebody else is saying.
Right?
So, the devil came along to Eve and said, God never said you would die. Well, better listen to what the first reference is, what the Lord says, and not what somebody else says.
Yes. Amen.
And even when in this case, as well as back there in Genesis, we have an angel. So Satan's an angel, he's a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan, as a fallen angel, he gave a false message. Here, this angel is a demon, he gives a false message. And so the prophet needed to go with what the Lord had told him directly. All right? And so the message then is that his carcass is not going to get into the sepulcher of his fathers. So that sounds serious. Now let's look at the passage here in Deuteronomy, for instance. It brings out the principle that we're seeing in this case. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, keep in mind that the Lord is speaking through Moses, telling them when you go into the promised land, and even before that, there's going to be prophets and dreamers come around. Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice,
mm-hmm.
and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And so
mm-hmm.
the Lord has already given revelation to them, and so the revelation was, as in Exodus chapter 20, serve the Lord God and him only. So a false prophet comes along and says, let's go after other deities. You know that's counter to what you've already heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't obey that. You go with what you have heard. And so here we see, and even sometimes false prophets can put forth miracles. They put forth miracles. They have supernatural power. They put forth miracles. So miracles mean nothing if it contradicts what the Bible says here.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so anyway, we have that teaching there that we need to obey the previous written scripture, all right, or the previous revelation. So here we have the disobedience of the prophet. Now, secondly, we notice here in verses 24 through 30. Let's look in 23, actually, before we conclude this session. And it came to pass after that he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, the whip, for the prophet whom he had brought back. So the scripture repeats once again, what did he do? He ate and drank. All right, so here we see his disobedience. Down to death, 24 and following. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. His carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Now notice here, the lion kills him. The lion doesn't kill the ass. The lion doesn't eat up his body. All it does is kill him. That's all the Lord wanted to have done, for him to be killed. So here, verse 24, here's where I got my title, A Lion Met Him. So God had immediate judgment on this man of God, who had already prophesied a fantastic prophecy, but he disobeyed.
Wow.
And so a lion met him. And the Lord had sent that lion along the way and killed him, and it didn't eat up his carcass, didn't eat up the ass, didn't kill the ass, just killed him. So, we go on here then. We see the details of this. Lion met him, verse 25. Behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. All right, and then notice what the prophet says. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of God, word of the Lord rather. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Now it was the old prophet here who uttered the prophecy here that he would be killed. And sure enough, and so the old prophet knows this is the fulfillment of my prophecy. So you see how intriguing this passage is. So he says it's the man of God who is disobedient. Now this old prophet, remember, he's living in Bethel. He's living in utter disobedience. If he's a believer, he's certainly in disobedience. He may not even be a believer. But here, he as a disobedient old prophet has to utter a prophecy and then see it fulfilled, that a man of God that he deceived was disobedient and is killed. Why wasn't the old prophet killed? Lord, left them alone. Why wasn't King Jeroboam killed?
Right.
Lord, left them alone. The Lord dealt with this man of God who had privileges and enlightenment and was used of the Lord.
Yes.
See, and so, by the way, the man of God didn't have any second chances here. I'm not to drink, I'm not to eat, I'm going back the other way. Oh, I got deceived. Give me another chance there, Lord. No, no second chances. That's it. You get a second chance. And the Lord dealt with him. And so we see the disobedience and the death of the prophet. Now notice we move on here, verse 27. And he that the old prophet spake unto his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him, and he went and bound the carcass cast in the way, and the ass and lion standing by the carcass. See, the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn up the ass. That wasn't his divine purpose. So the Lord used the lion to kill a man. He didn't use the lion to eat up the carcass. He didn't use the lion to kill the other animal, but he used the lion to kill the man.
Wow.
And the prophet took up the carcass of the man and laid it upon the ass and brought it back, and the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And so, Scripture said, verse 30, and he laid his carcass in his own grave. and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake unto his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. All right, so this man of God, or this old prophet, really is an unusual character for sure. Now he buries the man of God in his sepulchre there, and he was to be buried along there with his bones and so on. And then he goes on to say, verse 32, For saying, which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. And we know they would come to pass. So, a very strange event here, to be sure. But this is setting the pattern for the major prophets that are going to be coming along, Elijah and Elisha primarily. And these are very intriguing individuals as well. But here we find all of these supernatural activities occurring here. And then finally, we look at verses 33 and 34. And here we see the disavowal of the king. So the king's not moved by any of this. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. So he's just going on within the apostate religion. He sees all the supernatural activity going on, knows all about these things, and he's rejected Jehovah God, who's performing all these things. And verse 34 says, This thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from off the face of the earth. The Lord was going to catch up to Jeroboam and his sin and deal with it. So, many significant truths come out of the passage here. One is that the Lord used prophets. He used godly prophets, and he used ungodly prophets. He used a lion, for that matter. He expects everybody to obey his word. And when people who have great privilege don't obey, then he deals with them. And the king here, who had great privilege, and there's another chapter for Jeroboam. His time hasn't come yet, but there's another chapter for him on when the Lord deals with him. But we find that these prophets uttered the truth here. We see fulfillment, immediate fulfillment, long-term fulfillment as well. And so in this chapter we have two prophecies, a sign given to one, and it's immediately fulfilled, and a second prophecy that is uttered, and then it's immediately fulfilled in the prophet. A fulfillment of prophecy. When the lion killed the man of God. And so, I guess what we have to take away from this is that, along with the privilege of knowing truth, we have responsibility. So, we've all heard the message. We know about truth. We know about the truth of Christ. We know about the truth of salvation.
Yes.
It's a dangerous thing then to know about salvation and reject it and reject it.
Yes.
And reject it.
Yes.
Because we don't know how much longer we have. And so we see the need to respond to Scripture and obey the Scripture that we have.
Yeah.
And the Lord wants us to obey Him. And even in the minute things. So that's why, as we start off with child discipline song, we start off with simple things. Just don't do this, don't do that. Simple things. And when there's disobedience, then we deal with them in simple things. So later on in life, when they have hard things, hard decisions, they will realize, I better obey what I do know here.
Mm-hmm.
Better obey,
right.
Because I know the consequence.
Amen.
All right, that's right. Father, we thank you for the time we've had. We pray that you'll use the Word of God now to speak to all of our hearts and deal with us and help us realize the privilege that we do have in the revelatory truth and having access to it. And knowing what you said about salvation and sanctification, living for the Lord. I pray that you bless each one now. Bless in the remainder of the service and in our prayer time, we ask for and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.